Welcome to Walnut Grove Cast. How are you, Christopher Cooling?
That's our song. I'm
That's it,
good.
man. It sounded slow to me. It sounded a little bit. The tempo was a little bit low. I'm gonna have to grab the old metronome and check it out. But it did seem a little slow to me. I noticed that when I watched it on my television too. So I'm like, I wonder. For no reason. How are you? How is everything going?
Doing well.
Excellent. We're doing, a really phenomenally, a very fun episode, but also a really off-season episode. We'll probably repeat this episode in about 7 months.
There you go.
It's the monster of Walnut Grove.
Yes, it's the one that was just, sequentially the next episode, after the last one that we just did.
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And at the rate that I'm getting these out, this might be out for Halloween of 2018.
This one aired November 1st, Monday, 1976. Of course, you know, Walnut Grove was Walnut Grove.
I'm sorry, what was the date that it aired?
November 1st. 1976. Huh. So they did not shift it to a special day or anything like that. It was on its regular Monday night time slot.
You know, this had a few little frightening things for Little House. It had things that you've never seen.
It was a little scary for a family show. Right, yeah. 7 p.m. Central Time TV slot. I distinctly remember this episode airing. We did not watch it because it would be too scary for me.
Oy vey.
So just doing the math, I was 8 years old, which seems a little old, nowadays to, be frightened of something like this, but this was the mid 70s.
Sure.
And we're, you know, our exposure to, content and media is nothing like it is today. And we definitely saw the preview, you know, next time on Little House, from the week prior, the episode we just reviewed, and they showed clips from Laura's dreams and, you know, how frightening the episode would be and everything. And so we decided, we're not watching that one.
You know,
Chris would be too scared.
I felt like all of the cinematography was different for this episode.
It was
very unique.
Yes. It was dark.
Yeah, but it was beautiful. Like, there were some shots that were in the moonlight, and I just thought they looked out of control amazing. It's also a rare episode where Laura has her hair down. It's
yes.
not up.
There's a lot of other, I mean, it's an out of place episode. And so much so that it's almost something that many people might argue it's like, well, this one is like non-canonical or something,
right.
Because of some of the things we'll see in the show. But, it was an odd one, and you know, from the opening scene, when you see the jack-o'-lantern in the window, we know, we're setting the theme. We're setting the theme for the episode.
Now, you know what's interesting is the makeup artist, his name was was Alan Snyder, and he actually worked on Little House very often in Highway to Heaven, but he also worked on Rosemary's Baby.
My.
So I wonder if it's kind of a strange little mix right there. Little House, Rosemary's Baby, Highway to Heaven.
We see some of that makeup later.
Yeah, I mean, it looks a little bit like The Exorcist in the movie. You know, that
looks like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde going on.
Yeah, but you know, and that's also kind of strange because we really don't have a representation of what they looked like back then. I mean, that's really from the movies, and this is supposed to be 1870s. But nonetheless, I thought that was really interesting makeup for Little House, and it was frightening enough for Little House.
Yeah.
I thought that somebody said probably, all right, let's turn this up a notch. You know, they can handle it. And they couldn't. Canceled. So what happens is the girls are going out to soap the windows.
Yes, not trick-or-treating.
Now, soaping the windows was something that kids really did.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure. Was it supposed to be something that would be a menace of some sort? Vandalism?
It's a benign trick that was played. So trick-or-treating, I mean, didn't really come around in the United States until, what, the 1920s?
Yeah.
And then around – by the time World War II, it was something that was more firmly established in culture. But I didn't find any record of any such activity pre-1900, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's just kind of a prank.
Right. It's a harmless thing that was done. I have to go out and wash the windows now.
Which is, you know, kind of a welcome kind of thing if you think about it, because it's soap.
Right. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I may just be speaking out, but it was an idea that was probably promoted by Ivory Soap or something like that at some point in Life magazine, or who knows.
Probably in the 20th century, I would say.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Also, what was soap going for in the 1870s? Was it something was expensive?
Must not have been too expensive.
I mean, they it's had essentially fat lye,
right,
and some fragrance. So I guess they had all those things, you know.
A lot of people would have made their own.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm wondering if they would have just made their own.
Now, yeah, certainly some of the people out in that area would have.
Yeah, I would think so. And then
others would have bought it at Olson's Mercantile.
Yeah. Ivory, maybe. So we have the girls going out to basically vandalize the entire neighborhood. They walk 2 miles in probably the darkest of night. And actually, we open and Laura's reading a story to Carrie. The Headless Horseman, the Ichabod Crane story.
Mm-hmm. Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Which is a total classic. And Mary says, come up, you know, Laura's going to make us late. Always complaining. And Pa goes, she's almost done. I know this story. It's like, all right, man. There's probably like 3 books in the house. Good luck. You know, congratulations. You read one of them. And so they, you know, even that, we don't normally see Laura taking kind of the big sister approach towards Carrie. It's Halloween night. Let me go read a horror story to you for bedtime. So they go and they're soaping the windows. And lo and behold, Laura sees something that she shouldn't see. Mm. And hears something that she shouldn't hear. And that's an argument between the Olsons. I'm wondering if I could find that argument. That was one of my clips. But, you know, essentially, Nels has a form of sword, which I just think is so strange. Like, where did he get this, like, sword?
Right. And this is definitely the only... It's right around the 6-minute mark in the show. And this is the only... I mean, only to my recollection, time that Nels was shown to have swords and be
or anyone.
Sword collector or something. That was one of the oddities of this episode.
Yeah, so here's a clip.
Earn money on her.
You leave her out of it. She's none of your business.
She is when you spend our money on her.
I buy what we need.
Oh, yeah, like those silly tin swords that you just couldn't do without.
These swords are made of the finest Toledo steel. And they come from my family coat of arms.
They're tin swords, and a coat of arms as bogus as the peddler who sold them to you.
Tin, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'll show you.
Let me just set up what Laura's seeing. Laura's seeing the back of what appears to be Mrs. Olsen's head. And Nels is walking around this body, which is actually a mannequin, and that's who, quote-unquote, she is. and he's basically going to lop off the head of the mannequin. And we're going to hear what Nels says afterward, and he can kind of understand why Laura thinks what appears to happen did happen.
Yeah.
Nels, you put that thing down.
Tin, is it? I'll show you whether it's tin. Who's there?
Mr. Run.
Oh, Laura Ingalls. Oh, I expect you saw what just happened.
I kind of.
I didn't mean to do it. But people do lose their tempers. I had to show her. I just had to. Now you can understand that, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Ah, I knew you would. I must say, it certainly took her by surprise. She won't be saying anything about this sword from now on. We're good friends, aren't we?
Sure.
You can understand why I'd like to keep this, a secret. Yours and mine.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Not a word to anyone. You promise?
Cross my heart, hope to...
Fine. We can consider the whole matter dead and buried. Good night, Laura.
Now, who did that remind you of? like, his whole dialogue, which I thought was incredible.
Uh-huh. It's a little... I mean, yeah. through modern lenses, this is a little creepy dialogue. But, I mean, are you thinking of somebody in specific?
In a movie, somebody... yeah, like in a thriller.
Oh,
I'm just wondering if you'll fall. Well, I'm thinking Anthony Perkins. In Psycho, it sounded. I just had to show her, and you know, it's like this weird type of thing, and it's like. The gentle guy, but at the same time, he's completely dangerous. And he's like, it's our little secret, right? And he's holding the sword up to poor Laura's face.
Right.
So I just thought that was awesome. Yeah. So maybe Nels is maybe an Anthony Perkins character.
Hey, the sword definitely comes to play a couple of times in the show. So when we learn something new about Nels.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So nobody believes Laura, because why would you believe a little girl, right? She's trying to convince everyone. Mary won't listen. No one. She even tries to tell her parents, Mom, Pa, and Ma just says, Laura Ingalls, go up to bed. So Laura, she puts on her bonnet and she goes to bed. So here's what comes to her dreams that night. Very Brady Bunch. So she wakes up, and you know that scene actually reminds me of Vertigo in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so yeah, it's kind of creepy with the heads. I mean, this is a very visual episode, so the audio clips are not really doing justice to what we're seeing on the show.
Right,
with the silhouette of Mrs. Olsen's head being cut off, and different heads of her friends flying toward her.
Yeah, it's really hilarious, actually. Hilarious, but also very scary. Like, I watched this with my 8-year-old, and he went, whoa, what's this? You know, it's supposed to be Little House in the Prairie. Same as, you know, an 8-year-old Chris Cooling.
Yeah.
Where I say, whoa, pump the brakes. Yeah. So, Laura is convinced that not only did she see him do it, but... she has to tell someone. She has to tell everyone. I forget the name of the boy.
Carl.
Yeah, Carl. Yes. And Carl doesn't... I don't think he believes at first, but then he's convinced. This, I don't think the part has come up yet with the new mannequin. So, in this clip that you clipped, Laura tries to tell Nellie and Willie that that their father is a murderer. Here we go.
They cut off your mother's head.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I got to hear that a lot more clear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to back it up about 5 seconds.
Well, what's the big secret?
I don't know how to tell you this, Nellie.
Use your mouth. That's a good one.
Your father cut off your mother's head.
What?
He cut off your mother's head.
Your big secret was to tell me some dumb story like that?
But it's true.
Come on, Willie. Tell my mother that when she comes back from Grandma's. She wasn't on the stage.
And in Willie fashion, he sticks his tongue out of them.
Right.
Mrs. Olsen was not on the stagecoach. She took the earlier one because Nels just needed to get rid of her.
Nels called an Uber.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Yeah. Gave him a whole dollar.
Hey, small price to pay to get rid of.
That's about $20, $18, $19, $20 now.
Yeah. I'm thinking that it was actually for the whole ride, but yeah. So what happens is, you know, the kids are in Nell's full responsibility, and he's cooking dinner, and he spills a type of sauce on his apron. And Willie and Nellie find it, and they are convinced for a very short amount of time that Nels is a murderer. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the first times I'm seeing Willie not eating. And I'm thinking that they were eating a roast of some sort, but it was very black. I don't know if you
noticed
that.
Overcooked.
Holy cow. It's funny because
I worked very hard on this roast. It's like you cooked the life out of that thing. I mean,
yeah, like that doesn't even look horrible. Like food. I noticed some string beans on Willie's plate. From what I understand, I think I've said this in the past, 9 out of 10 times the food that they are eating is from KFC. So the roast might have been just like somebody had a leftover half roast or something. So, but I'm betting that the vegetables were some type of KFC vegetable, which I just think is so funny.
Interesting.
So she, Nels mentions that he poured sauce on the apron. He has to rinse it out and everything's fine. But you see Nellie and Nellie smirks and she tells her father that Laura Ingalls thinks that he's a murderer. But she's going to take care of it. She's going to tell Laura the next day that it's just a misunderstanding, Laura. Don't worry yourself with this, but no. They're going to play a trick on Laura, who, if you add up the amount of friends and terrible things that have happened to this poor girl in the past 3 seasons, you just wouldn't want to play this kind of trick on her. But they do. Do you want to tell a little bit of the story? I just feel like I'm blabbering. I'm sorry.
The clip I like Promise Not to Laugh.
Okay.
Where Nellie starts to tell Nels what was going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You clipped that. All right. Here we go.
Pa, I'll tell you something if you promise not to laugh.
I'll try not to.
Well, Laura Ingalls, silly Laura.
She said that you cut off Ma's head.
I was telling him.
Why can't I tell him?
Laura Ingalls said that? Land sakes.
Land sakes.
She did see something. That mannequin was sitting in the chair by the window, and I had my sword, and I, well, the mannequin lost its head. It's very embarrassing, but accidents always are. I had no idea that she... Well, I'll have to explain it to her.
I'll do it for you, Pa.
Well, thank you, Nellie. That's very nice of you. Well, since I fixed the supper, I think that you two can do the dishes.
Well, I'll soak up Ma's apron, too.
Well, thank you, Nellie. I'll be out in the store.
So, land seeks, which I love the saying.
Yeah.
They decide a scheme is cooking, basically, which is just great. And so what is the first scheme?
Nellie's being uncharacteristically helpful, so you know she's up to something.
Yeah, absolutely. You actually did clip a really good one with the dreams.
Yes, Laura continues to have more dreams about what she has thinks she has witnessed.
Now, this one's a weird one, too, because it's like a peephole, and it's just a weird frame around the image. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like the other dream. Like, it doesn't have the same format, but here it is.
Right.
She's sitting on the floor in his candelabras, mm-hmm. and Nels is walking in with a huge serving dish with one of those, what would you call that? Just the food helmet.
A serving platter.
You always know it's going to be under one of those. It's either going to be terrible food because it had to stay be kept warm, or a head. So. This. And Mary is within hours of losing her vision, right? I mean, this is going to be her last Halloween, right?
I don't know about that.
That she can see. Yeah, I mean, she's getting too old. She's too old to be in the same bed.
It's very visual, but what we see is this crazy Mr. Hyde looking Nels Olsen in the dream.
With the fake teeth and everything.
With the exactly awesome. The protruding teeth and the makeup around the eyes. And
I took a screenshot.
The crazy music cues. Yeah, you got to put that up as the image, right?
Well, I was either going to... maybe that one. Yeah, I think that one might be the winner.
And of course, this is the clip they showed next time on Little House on the Prairie.
and you're like, no!
Oh my God!
I'm going to sleep.
Don't look at it, Chris.
I just want to watch and listen to Carrie. So the next day, Carl and Laura go into the shop. I think what they're going to do is try to sneak into and try to find the body. It's not really clear what they're doing. But Nels is talking to a salesman who sells mannequins, who is the creepiest person in the world. Right? I mean, the guy is talking about these things in such a perverted way. So I'm going to see if I can find a clip of that real quick.
You can move her arms up and down.
It's like you always want to put her away. So Nels buys...
How much do you want for her? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here it is.
With the head, legs too. This one will do everything but talk.
How much?
$9.25. But a lot of work goes into one of these beauties.
That's mighty high.
Yeah, well, I could give you something on the other one I sold you. So long as it's still in good condition.
No. I think I might... I'll probably need both of those. I'll take it for $9.25.
Good enough. Yeah, I'll throw in one of these heavy cloth bags. I usually get 50 cents for them.
Oh, thank you, Thaddeus.
Yeah, now keep her in here when she's not in the window. Save her from getting chipped.
I'll do that.
And he's caressing it in the creepy way.
Yeah, and that's $162 in today's money.
Which, you know, that's not bad for a mannequin either. It's probably
and guess
solid
what
wood.
Mannequins cost? A headless mannequin from a supply store costs about $170, $180 today.
Ah, so we're talking about pretty solid deal, and he saved on shipping.
Yeah.
And that thing's made of wood. I'm guessing. Could be plaster, I guess. But wood would probably
Yeah, with as heavy it is, as it is, yeah, wood. I was wondering about that. But that's... It seems to be a varying heaviness with the eases which is thrown at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yes. So Nels basically puts all the body parts of the mannequin into the bag, and he's dragging it because it is so heavy. And Laura and Carl see it from a little bit of a distance, and you just see the one hand kind of poking out of the bag, which I just thought was, you know, really well done. And, totally adds to the entire...
Right. Everything supports the narrative of what she thinks happened.
Back in school, they go and they run into Willie. And Willie is convinced that, you know, is playing that he's convinced, he's basically tricking them, that his father is a killer. So, long story short, he convinces them to go into the mercantile while Nels is going to pick up the mother, or is leaving for whatever reason, and help find the body. I mean, it's so ridiculous. What
it's in the basement.
Do?
I
it's
didn't know you had a basement.
Of course we have a basement. You know,
it's in the script.
Now, as Laura is being lured into the cellar, I can't help but remember another time that Laura was lured into a cellar and it didn't really end very well. This girl doesn't really learn, right? Do you remember the My Ellen episode?
Right. Is that something that's already happened, though?
Yeah, I'm thinking that was season 2. Must be.
No, it was the following season.
Oh, no, so was it really? Yeah, was it? Oh.
Yeah, we're a year from the My Ellen. No, I thought she was older.
All right, then this is
going
to be...
a year away from the My Ellen events.
Then she should have known better then, even more so in the My Ellen episode. I'm sorry, I thought that was season 2. So they go down there, and Nelly is hiding under a tarp, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of clicking through here.
And they're sneaking out at night.
Yeah, they're sneaking out
this
at night.
This is another uncharacteristic, you know, we got multiple kids sneaking around the town at night, which is, you know, typically doesn't happen in the show.
And they basically, they get scared. They get scared and they run back up the stairs. I'm forgetting what triggered them to run up the stairs. It wasn't anything really big, was it? Oh, it was the ghost. I'm sorry.
Nelly comes up like she's a ghost.
Nelly was under a sheet. Ooh. And it was like, ooh. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. You know, so they run.
So they run up and throw
them. They
close it on him.
Them.
Yeah.
They lock them in there, which I thought was kind of wild. And they go to the window and they see Mrs. Olsen outside, which would scare anyone. And it's like, ah! And
she lights a match and there's a music cue and
she's like, children,
face.
Children.
Right.
So they, it's all very dark. Everybody's running around and they bump into her or kind of rush her really. And she falls back and is faint or.
Yeah. They throw the
out.
Mannequin on her.
Was it the mannequin that they
yes.
threw? I'm sorry.
So Laura asks Carl to hold her hand, and
oh, right.
I am holding
up.
Your hand. It's the mannequin. And they run out, and they end up throwing the bagged mannequin on top of Mrs. Olsen.
Right, but all of a sudden, the mannequin isn't very heavy, like you said.
Right, exactly.
So
Laura
running,
and Carl realize they've been had.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can pick it up if you'd like.
Yeah, they... Mr. Olsen would like to have a talk with Willie, so we decide we're going to play one final trick on Nellie and Willie here.
And, you know, the mannequin's head is kind of creepy.
It is.
If you've ever seen this one shot of the earliest television, I guess, transmission. Have you ever seen this? I forget what it's called, but they used a mannequin like that, and it's horrifying. It's like a very, just the first image on television or first television transmission. Let me just find that first. I just want to... I'll just get
first the... ever television broadcast.
I think it was a test of some sort. I'll dig it up.
Right.
But it was a very similar type of face. And I always found the big eyes to be very, very creepy. So they're going to play one last trick, like you said. They're going to take the mannequin head and they're going to roll it down the stairs. And, yeah, you look at this kind of quickly and it does look like the mother's hairstyle and everything. But here's what that all sounds like. Whoops, I clicked the wrong button.
A trick. One of Nellie's old tricks.
And a dirty one, too. Wait a minute. I got an idea. Yeah.
Nothing quite like a Nelly scream. So they got their revenge, and what happens? They're on their way home, and they hear footsteps, and they see a white horse approaching, and it's none other than the Headless Horseman from New York. Wonderful.
Yeah, were you going to play that? The very
end? Yeah, should I?
Absolutely. And there
episode.
We have our episode, yeah.
I thought this episode was a lot of fun. It was very different than very many other Little House episodes, and they never really went back to this kind of style of episode. But yeah. It was really good.
It's sort of a standalone. You may have been talking about the ventriloquist dummy they used called Stooky Bill in the early TV test broadcasts. Or they would use like silhouette images, or one of the tests used a painted head, you know, ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, I think it was Stooky. Yeah, yeah, I think it was.
It was more visible because of the white face and the painted contrast.
That's exactly it. It was like big
and
eyes.
He does look creepy. If you Google Stooky Bill, and there's a YouTube video of the very, very poor image. By today's standards, of him looking around and talking.
Stooky Bill.
Oh, yeah. Somebody should do a remix of that with different audio.
You know, it's funny. I think it would be really great to make, to recreate Stooky Bill out of plaster or something. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy life to, come and do a Walnut Grove cast.
Oh, no problem. It was a lot of fun. This is like you said, it was a very fun episode. It was something that I'm sure gave a number of the actors the week off, had minimal scenes for a number of them, and it was something put together just for fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a ton of fun. Like, I love this episode. I would definitely revisit this when Halloween comes around.
Yeah.
All right, man. So, yeah, I'll catch you on the next one.
The next time.
Prairie, we're chasing lights towards the day.